A big hello and a warm welcome to everyone. My name is Simon Pittman, and I will be your host for this podcast panel discussion brought to you by InCosmetics Connect. And today we will be discussing ways beauty businesses can cope with the economic uncertainty that currently prevails worldwide. This is part of a series of podcasts that will look at the most pressing issues facing the beauty and personal care industry during what has proved to be an unprecedented time for businesses worldwide. Today, we have assembled two leading industry experts to share their views on coping mechanisms that will help a business right now and in the longer term. So next, I'd like to introduce you to our panelists, who represent very different areas of the industry. First of all, we have Ryan Mulvaney, who is the founder and partner of Quiver, Amazon's Platinum's third-party marketplace sellers. And they're specializing in full-service channel strategy. Ryan, if you could say hi to our listeners and then tell us a little bit more about your experience in the beauty industry.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for the intro. My background is, you know, within all things Amazon, specifically maybe 10 or so years ago, trying to stand up strategies for beauty and health and personal care brands within the channel, because they had quite a bit of channel conflict with, you know, salons and professional, you know, channels. And so we crafted up a thesis which said coexist with those other channels and do it in a way that's not going to, you know, potentially pull business away from them, but instead complement. We will stand up normalized pricing and reviews and a better consumer experience. And so we built a business within that model, applying the best practices of Amazon to established brands. And we sold that business about 3 years ago to a strategic partner called Advantage Sales and Marketing. Still there this day, still helping many beauty brands within the channel as it continues to evolve. So great to be here. Thanks so much for the intro.
No worries. You're very welcome, Ryan. And we are also privileged to have Danuta Dudek-Pelon, PhD and founder of Cotard, which is an award-winning skincare range specifically created for individuals who frequently fly. So a big welcome to you, Danuta. Let's hear a bit more about your experience.
Ryan, hello, everybody. Thank you so much for having me here. It's such a pleasure to take part in this conversation. So I am the co-founder of Cotard. We are a travel-related skincare brand. We work directly with the customers as well as businesses providing products for those who are always on the go. And I'm a chemist, and I got my PhD degree in enterprise management, and I used to work with pretty much all the corporations as well as some smaller brands around the world. And now I have my own company, so it's great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Danuta. Okay, that's great. Thank you for those introductions, both of you. That's very insightful. So let's move on with the questions now. I've got around four questions, but I'm sure there'll be a few follow-ups as well. So here's the first question for you, the panelists. Any thoughts on how beauty-facing businesses can create working strategies for the current environment? What's the best philosophy to take?
Well, I honestly think in conditions like this, it takes a lot of resilience to go through a time of crisis of this magnitude. I believe it's not only about the beauty industry, but any industry. We basically have to stay calm. We have to stay kind of together and be understanding whether we are talking with our vendors, whether we're talking to our customers, etc., because everybody's under an enormous amount of stress. One thing that is truly important, I think, is keeping those good relationships, because, you know, I believe COVID will pass by behind us, but those relationships will last. So I believe that this is super important. And what I've seen is kind of surprising and sometimes even shocking to me. It was at the beginning, seeing that some of our partners kind of stopped even replying to emails or contacting us, you know, when everything started. And, you know, that's because, you know, we are on the border between beauty and travel industry. And as everybody knows, travel industry basically stopped. Like, we had some kind of business before and it went down to zero because basically nobody was able to travel. Hotels were empty. Airlines stopped operating one by one. And a lot of suppliers it felt like a shockwave went through the industry and they stopped kind of working, you know, trying to figure out what to do next. So I really think like this resilience, you know, the strength, basically we have to have a lot of strength and optimism to go through times like this. You know, at the beginning, we basically thought, oh, it's going to end by the end of the summer or by the summer, and we will forget about the whole thing. And 2020 is going to be the year it was supposed to be, which was the year of growth and all amazing things. And well, now we know it's not exactly how it unfolded. But yeah, I'm still trying to think from consumer perspective, and our actions that we took in the months to come, you know, we're all focused on that, trying to bring some value, basically. That wasn't skincare. We are skincare specialists, so that's where we thought skincare is going to be very important. We're going to be on lockdown. People will have to take care of themselves.
So Ryan, it'd be interesting to get the e-commerce perspective on how things have gone.
Yeah, I love a couple things about what Danuta said. And I actually love her background because I feel like it's an iSpy game. I'm like, wow, there's so much cooler. It's so much cooler than my background with the dog clawing at the door to come in. I think that, you know, some of the commonalities to focus on, like Danuta said, you know, the relationships, the people, are you keeping a level head? Through this sort of unprecedented times, I think those are the things that people are going to hold on to and remember. And I completely agree, you know, having empathy for people that are going through a lot, packaging companies that are dealing with logistics, you know, supply chains that are all disruptive. I think those are, you know, really important to just be mindful of, because again, this will come and go, but the relationships hopefully can stay intact and will continue to build upon. I think that what we've noticed is, you know, we've been beating this e-commerce drum for a number of years now, and sort of bringing, you know, specifically beauty brands into the fold of digital, you know, a very sort of brick and mortar style relationship with the customer. You go to the Sephora's of the world or the Ulta's or the Nordstrom's, you go in and you try things on, you test it out, you know, and it's a beautiful consumer experience. And when you get something like COVID, which severely impacts your ability to do that, it just fast forwards a behavior shift that was already happening. And so the brands that were sort of, you know, maybe toe out of the water on maybe having a digital strategy or now bringing it into the full force of focus, realizing it's not going anywhere. And in fact, it's going to probably be around for a long time, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. That's not to say experiential retail is not going to come back. It's just going to come back differently. And I think what we're seeing is a lot of brands embracing the sort of digital technology that allows you to recreate that physical experience digitally, whether it's an engagement with TikTok doing a filter that, you know, allows you to put, you know, makeup on your face, or Instagram, you know, it's these really cool sort of digital experiences. Again, it's not going to fully recreate the physical experience, but it is much more scalable. So a lot more people might see or get access to something that you guys are bringing to market. And so again, I think it's a catalyst for change, and I think we need to embrace it and really, you know, the new normal is like, it's not going back to the way it was. Some of it will come back, but it's going to be evolved and ever changing.
Yeah, agreed. So that ties in with the next question, which is specifically about retail. And obviously brands have been very hard hit by the heavy disruption in the retail sector. So because of this, what are the best alternative strategies to take? I mean, is it a question of rethinking, reinventing yourself? What's the best approach? I mean, Danuta, might be really interesting to hear about your experience.
Our experience is quite particular because we are in travel. And I mean, oh boy, I mean, travel retail really has been suffering so much everywhere. Now Asia is picking up back, but it's still very slow. Nevertheless, I mean, you know, so even though everything stopped, we also must remember that airlines, hotels, and all those places, they still have stock of existing products that were ordered before COVID started. So even if we get back to so-called normal conditions, whatever it's going to be, it's going to take us a while because of that stock. Nobody's going to just throw it out. They have to use it. So I was thinking about it a lot when things changed back in March and April, before summer, basically. And I thought about it like, so what are we going to do? I mean, this is like killing our company. Are we going to give up and just stop operations and just do nothing and wait until everything comes back? Or what are we going to do? And I thought, you know, I always wanted to have a company that sorts out certain problems for people. Like I really... I started Cotard, you know, a brand for travelers in particular, because I used to travel so much and I saw what does it do to skin. I saw people looking rather dreadful after long flights, after sitting in the office for long hours and then a flight and then again, you know, being in a hotel and so on. And even celebrities, if you think of them, very few of them dare to take off their sunglasses when they land somewhere. So I thought this was a real problem. And I thought, you know, I really wanted to sort it out. That's why we created our company. That's why we did our research before launching the company. And now nobody's traveling. But you see, there is a lot of people still working, and they have been working through this difficult time while we had this luxury of being home. While we were working home and were able to kind of go through it relatively well. And I thought, okay, this is my problem. So these people are around here. There is plenty of doctors, nurses, first responders. There is plenty of people who work as mail delivery people, mailmen and women. You know, I reached out to them today, like local organizations. Yeah, apart from donations, we basically started working with them, trying to understand what's going on with their skin. You know, that's my specialty, skincare. So I try to understand what's happening with their skin when you wear a mask, when you feel all this stress and so on. And as months started moving on, passing by, I realized that there is a big need for personalized skincare. And that's what we started delivering basically in the middle of the summer. People really appreciated that connection with me, like one-on-one even, you know, talking about the skin issues. People started having enormous skin issues, kind of different from what it was, what it used to be. So I used my expertise from those harsh conditions on board and, you know, having this crazy lifestyle I used to have and trying to figure out solutions for these people. And that was my strategy, you know, getting back to your question, that was my strategy of how to survive the time when basically conditions, outer conditions are killing your business. Trying to find the value, trying to be useful, trying to sort out the problem the best way you can.
Thank you, Danuta. So Ryan, obviously you've been strategizing and talking to brands and helping them out. What have you been saying about this kind of area? What have you been advising brands?
Yeah, to echo what Danuta's saying, is just having a level of flexibility and willingness to try new things and adapt rather than try to force the old into your little system of what you think is perfect, I think is paramount. If we looked at just shopping behavior here, although I've got a full agency that specializes in Amazon brand management, I watched when Amazon wouldn't ship for 30 days or when the grocery stores went out of stock and everybody shifted over to Walmart or Target, and the consumer cared less about where it was coming from. They just wanted it to get to them. And so I think for brands, as they think about retail or new channels, there's definitely, you know, if you're a prestige beauty brand, there was stigma about being on Amazon. It still is. But if they're the only one who can get your product to a consumer right now with their own supply chain, like, it might be time to reconsider that. And maybe that's not bringing your entire portfolio to bear on the catalog. And this could be for Amazon or Walmart or Target or Ulta or Sephora, any of them. Maybe you do a strategic selection of your catalog there so that the consumer has an option to purchase your product. Again, it's just staying open-minded and flexible in adapting. And look, if after 6 months you don't like how this presents your brand image, you can figure out another strategy around it. But I think it's up to everybody that, you know, everybody's learning to dance right now to some degree. Everyone's, you know, the step they're taking right now is different than the step they took a year ago and 5 years ago. And the step we're going to take in a month from now will look different than this one. And so we're all, I think you need to remember that we're all trying to figure it out simultaneously. Nobody's got all the answers. And I think that gives you a little bit more, you know, airspace to test and learn.
Yeah. So just, I mean, you've both use the word flexibility and flexible and sort of being spontaneous in the current environment. Let's focus in on diversification of businesses a little bit more. What do you think is the best approach on that?
Yeah, if I may mention again, you know, because of course, if you think of various businesses, you can make a lot of analysis. And I know these type of analysis are being done for especially big companies, you know, all depending on the region, the size of the region, the way they handle COVID, the speed of recovery, et cetera, et cetera. But for especially like small businesses like mine, I think it all has to come, first of all, from your strength. So you've got to be clear about your company's strength and just to have a chance to compete with others and to feel sure about what you're doing, that you can actually deliver that value. Because that value is the second element, at least to me, that the value that you create for the people. And actually, the word people is also kind of important here. I lately I noticed I stopped calling the people around me customers or clients. I started just calling them people because these people really need direct contact. They appreciate, as I mentioned, they appreciate this conversation, the support. You know, skincare is just a small portion of the self-care that everybody needs these days. And we really do need that. And I think this is so important. So whether it's a product or a service, I think creating this value is extremely important. And I really like what Ryan said about this flexibility. I think this is super important. You know, we do not build brands or companies these days to be rigid. And otherwise, we can survive, like, for example, these conditions. If I have built my brand based on travel and all that, travel is gone. That means that, theoretically speaking, my brand is gone. But it's actually not. I gained access to new customers. I created new relationships. And surprise, surprise, actually, it has not happened that much via social media. You may think that would be the, yeah, and that's what you hear everywhere, that social media is boosting. And yeah, I agree, it's boosting, etc. But it's becoming more and more expensive. So what I have used was kind of traditional approach in the sense that I contacted Chamber of Commerce, I contacted all those organizations locally, you know, because it's really difficult right now in these conditions that we're living in to reach out to people that are on the other side of the world. Like even getting something done, you have to have it done kind of close. So you really need to be very flexible, very elastic in a way. And it is possible to survive, but I really think the key to it is to utilize your strengths. For me, you know, being a chemist, of course, it's relatively easy for me to create a product that is fully adapted to one's need. Or it's a bit easier for me than somebody who comes to, you know, having a brand from, I don't know, finance or something else. But nevertheless, each of us has certain strengths, and I believe it's all about finding the way to translate it into that value to customer.
That's really interesting. Very interesting point about going back to conventional trade organizations as well, and you know, not just completely focusing on social media. It's very interesting.
I think a lot of people keep forgetting about that. Everybody is focused on pretty much social media. You hear only about social media everywhere, but people don't realize how really difficult it is to attract, you know, variety of groups from different backgrounds, different markets to your brand. And I, of course, appreciate social media very much. It has changed the world, basically. But still, as a business person, you've got to utilize the resources you have. And I think Chamber of Commerce is one group that is very strong, at least like here in Florida, for example. It's a very strong group of professionals. Everybody's there for very clear reasons. And I think this has been a great resource to use.
That's great. Great point. Thank you, Danuta. So Ryan, let's hear a little bit more about your ideas and take on diversifying businesses.
I think that the amount of brands that reached out to us that wanted to move, you know, nitrile gloves or face masks or hand sanitizer within the first like 30 days of COVID, I can't even count. And then the amount of brands that are mainstream that then shifted part of their portfolio to start manufacturing those types of products, I can't even count those as well. And that was a strategic move by a lot of brands so that they, at least here in California, could be deemed essential. So they could keep their factories open, so they could keep people working, so they could keep making product. And so I think to me, diversification, you know, you're gonna shoot a lot of arrows and not all of them are gonna be bullseyes because that's just the nature of it if you're gonna be experimenting. But you're trying to identify, well, what are the things that are opportunistic? Like, okay, yes, we can sell a lot of, you know, hand sanitizer right now, but is that behavior gonna stick? And the idea of sanitation, and if we're doing skincare products, for instance, is there a sanitizing element that comes along with it now? You know, what, you know, if people are gonna be wearing face masks in public, does that dry your skin out in a certain way? Or does the mask tarnish in a certain way? And again, these are opportunistic things around COVID, but I think it's just trying to, you know, pull back a little bit and look at the truly behavior changing activities that are starting to occur and then make predictions on in 10 years from now, what are we going to be doing? In a year from now, what are we going to be doing? And start moving your portfolio in that direction. And I think it's a different answer for every company because every company makes a different type of product. But, you know, I think it's, again, it's having that flexibility to experiment, having the willingness to fail, and ultimately trying to fall down 7 times and get up 8 until you find the one that's going to work. And hopefully that one's going to work for a while. You know, I think there's a lot. I mean, it's a massive opportunity right now. of just disruption. And again, like I said, everybody's learning. And so we can all learn together. And the ones that will win will probably fail the most, but then they'll just keep going until they stop failing.
So you did talk about the future, and that's where I kind of wanted to leave our discussion, was talking about the future. Obviously, the pandemic is not going to go on forever. The economic volatility is not going to last forever. So let's talk about, you know, getting into a renewed growth cycle and getting that into full swing. And how do you think, or what are the best approaches to ensuring that?
Yeah, so if I may start again, we are not really forgetting travel. We believe it's going to bounce back big time, because after this lockdown and everything, people will want to travel. We want to go places, but perhaps in a bit modified way, a little bit differently than what we used to do. At the same time, even though going through this crisis of such size, of such magnitude, it's been hard, it has also offered us some knowledge and ground for gaining speed in the future and strength in the areas that perhaps we haven't thought of before. So something like Ryan said, that it offers a lot of opportunities. And thinking of our business, I consider that perhaps we'll focus more on certain segments that will appreciate our expertise now in this personalized area. I think beauty, and especially in travel, is gonna be regrouped. It's gonna change a lot, I believe. There will be, you know, like mass travel as it used to be, but the luxury travel is gonna change slightly. And I think this is gonna be very interesting to observe and hopefully also take part in. Yeah, I'm quite positive about it. It's just a matter of finding right ways of surviving this time. We don't know how much more it's gonna be like that, but you know, with vaccination coming on, yeah, we can estimate certain times, so that should be fine. And we will see how it goes with the new normal. Who knows how the new normal really is going to look like, how the countries are going to deal with it, you know, law-wise. And it's going to affect business environment, of course, very much. And as we talked at the very beginning, those partnerships we have created with various vendors, this is going to be very important to make sure that we can bounce back properly, right on time, and you know, with the right portfolio, with the right size of it, etc. You know, developing any new product, any new service takes time. So it's probably the right time to think about what happens next. It's at least several months of work. So I think, we've got to look beyond COVID months.
Yeah, the new normal. I like that.
Yeah,
a good way of looking at it. Ryan, what's your take on the new normal and getting there, firing on all cylinders?
I think brands just need to look at, you know, what happened is like a little storm that came through, and all of a sudden they were caught without sandbags, and they couldn't do anything to, you know, shore up the water that was rising around them. And so right now, invest in the things that you think are going to be, you know, present in the future. And it's having a digital strategy. It's having digital people on your team. I remember when we started, we didn't even have an Amazon person on staff. Like, that was a whole new concept. It took them a couple of years to wrap their head around that. And now they've got, you know, some brands have 20, 30, 40, 50 people teams, you know, the bigger sort of enterprise brands. And so if you think that social is going to be relevant in the future, well, you know, and you've been working with an agency, maybe you want to keep working with that agency, but maybe you need to bring some of that expertise in-house because you think it's going to grow. Or you double down and spend more with your agency and get really strategic with them because you know that this is sort of the path that it's on. And so I think, again, I would look at the types of places that are growing, the types of ways you can continue to reach consumers. And really, the most fortunate, best companies in the world, sometimes they have the best products, but they're often just the best marketing companies. And I can't tell you, I mean, if you look at any infomercial and then you go to those infomercial products on Amazon, or you actually see them in the store, how underwhelmed you are often when you read the reviews or when you see them and hold them. But they're phenomenal marketers and they're phenomenal at writing scripts and putting something in front of you at the right time of day to get you to pick up a phone back in the day and buy it. And so to me, it's how do you become more fit as a marketing company? How do you become more fit on getting your products to the consumer? And then when you marry that with a really good product, no one can touch you. And what Danuta was saying, you know, personalize it. Do the things that other brands aren't going to want to do. Do the things that aren't necessarily as scalable that will allow you to create that sort of boutique experience to the end user. And if people resonate with that, then figure out how to scale with it. You know, I think it's a tremendous opportunity. But again, I think it's just looking at this like a massive marketing opportunity and learning the new skills that everybody's learning. and you can come out ahead. It's not going to matter what you're selling. And in fact, it's not going to matter if your product's that good. It will ultimately at some point, but really getting that, you know, that strong sense of a marketing, you know, capability underneath you in this modern era, I think is paramount.
That's wonderful. Well, both of you, we've had amazing insights. I'm sure the audience are going to be thrilled with the knowledge that you've shared and your expertise, and I'm sure that's going to put them in good stead for the future. So that brings us to the end of the podcast recording. I'd like to thank our panelists, Ryan and Danuta, for their expert insights, and to you, our listeners, for tuning into this podcast hosted by myself, Simon Pittman, and brought to you by InCosmetics Connect.
Thank you.